We got a big hour coming up, lots to get to. So the breaking news, Ronan Farrow attempted suicide last night. I don't know what he's thinking. He actually announced that the rape allegations against Bill Clinton are very credible and need looking at. They need to be reinvestigated. He's referring to Juanita Broderick, and there were some others, too. But he says they are very credible rape allegations. At the time, Clinton was running for president, and president, obviously, fake news, buried it, hid the story. Dateline did an interview with Juanita Broderick. It's pretty compelling, but they held it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't. We can't run it. But after the election, they released it quietly. I'll put that up on the webpage tomorrow. But you could see that was a rape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Ronan Farrow says these rape allegations need looking at. And what the hell is this guy thinking? So I imagine late last night, a phone call was made on a throwaway disposable burner phone from somewhere in Chappaqua to the Jeffrey Epstein hit team.
Oh.
And somebody said, I hear you paint houses.
Is that how they say it?
No, actually, that's this new movie, The Irishman. It just made that up. The whole movie's fiction. That's not but I'm sure Bill Clinton called that Epstein hit team and said, I got another package I need. So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe Ronan Farrow was thinking about that, and that's why he said it publicly. Before, you know, usually you start your investigation, usually you don't say what you're looking at until you're well into it. But I think that's why he's saying it publicly.
Just in case anything should happen?
I would imagine his insurance company probably canceled his policy this morning. I don't know what he's thinking about. So President Trump came to, it was pretty good. He didn't disrupt things as much as usual. He came to New York on Saturday to go to, what is it actually called, MMA?
Yeah, mixed martial arts.
So what does that have to, is that have something to do with worldwide wrestling, or is this too?
No, different? No, this is real fighting.
It's not real fighting.
No, this is real fighting.
What do you mean it's real
fighting? This is real fighting. These guys get in a cage and fight, as opposed to the wrestling, which is kind of fake.
Oh, I see what you mean. You mean like this is not staged?
Yeah.
So what, in mixed martial arts, what does that mean? They can punch, they
punch, kick, anything you want. You can't bite, I suppose. But
so... You think he really, I know he really likes this because he's been going to this for years, but it tells you something about, you can't picture Pete Buttigieg going to this.
No. I can't picture any of those presidential candidates going to this.
I think part of that is, first of all, he really does love going to it. You know, the night he got elected, he called, who's that big guy in all this? Dan White? Or Dana White? Don?
The MMA
Dana
guy?
Dana White.
Oh, okay.
He's like the Aaron Judge of this stuff.
Okay.
Oh, he's the owner. Okay, he's like the George Steinbrenner of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He called him he found out he was going to win about 9 o'clock, and then they were going to head over to the...
This is the guy he calls?
Well, he called a lot of people, but I guess they had been talking all along. He said, why don't you come over? We're going to have the big celebration. And then he was elected president on that night. And then he called this guy... The next night, he says, I want to come to the fight. And I guess he called back. You know, when he got elected, he didn't know that the Democrats would go insane, that they would throw the biggest tantrum in history, that they would try to yell and kick and scream. And he saw the what was going to happen. And he called the guy back and he said, you know what? For your own sake, I'm not going to come. It's going to cause you too much trouble. So he didn't come. But he's always been a fan of this stuff. So he came. Well, what was this last night? Like the All-Star game or something?
I guess, yeah. I don't know.
This is like the biggest...
The ultimate fight, yeah.
The ultimate whatever it is. What kind of people watch this stuff?
I know. Sorry, I tell you. It's kind of brutal.
But he came in for that. Stayed at Trump Tower overnight, and then...
Not a good image for a president, one would think. I mean, if you had an image guy, an image counselor, say, what do you think? What do you think you say?
You see, look at
you. You don't want to be seen there.
You people live in the bubble, you northeastern elitists. Oh, this is terrible. This is what people like in America.
I don't know.
I'd rather watch a golf game or the Patriots or the Giants, but watch. So this is where he went. Now, Sunday was the marathon, causing massive street closures all over the place. So between that and a presidential visit, which shuts down a lot of streets, that's quite a traffic nightmare. But he left at 10 in the morning and got the hell out of here. And everything went well. The marathon... I don't understand that marathon. You see when the winner crossed the finish line?
Yeah.
There's like nobody behind him.
Well, that's why he won.
Well, I know, but there's 56,000 people running. 20 of them can't keep up with this guy out of 56,000.
He had a pretty good time there. It was 2 hours and, what, 8 minutes?
Yeah, but how does that work? You got all these, he's supposed to be the best runners in the world. Nobody can even stay within 10 feet of this guy?
I don't know.
So, and it's the stupidest sport.
I agree with you.
Let's say you were a golf champion and you won the tournament. You know, for the rest of your life, this is a sport you can use in business, socially, you can play with people. You can run 26 miles. What are you going to do with that later in life when you retire from running?
I don't know. You need to go to the supermarket. I'm going to run 5 miles down to get some milk.
But it's not exactly a big social thing or business thing. Nobody's going to hire you to run 26 miles with their clients.
Yeah, right. I don't understand it.
It's really kind of stupid. Yeah. So, but it does a lot for New York. What? I don't know. No idea. I guess it brings...
Well, they all got to come in here, stay in hotels, eat dinners, bring friends.
Yeah, that's true. And then they all walk around with those medals. You can go on eBay if you want one of those. You really can. They sell those marathon medals. Just wear one to work and act like you ran. Who's going to check?
Yeah.
You know, I ran in the 2004 marathon.
Really?
No, but I could tell you that. Who's going to know?
Oh, what was your time?
What are you, 4:32?
That's quick. That's good.
Yeah. Who's going to know? What are you? Somebody going to go look it up in the database? Who's going to tell? So, hey, did you see Saturday Night Live? You notice the opening sketch of Saturday Night Live on Saturday was ridiculing Elizabeth Warren. That's pretty interesting because obviously these are diehard Democrats at Saturday Night Live, but everybody kind of knows Biden is gone, not going to make it. Bernie is not going to get it. I mean, Bernie's just trying to live until the convention. You know, I hope he lives a long, healthy life, but the guy's 80 and just had a heart attack, and he doesn't exactly look like Mr. Fitness there.
No.
So that leaves Warren, and nobody wants Warren.
So what are they trying to do here?
I think they're trying to signal to everybody. It was all about Warren's health care plan, which is preposterous. Here's a woman who knows nothing about health care plans. She's redoing the whole plan for America. It would eliminate a lot of service. It would cost something trillions of dollars, which nobody has. It doesn't even make any sense.
And it's not going to raise taxes.
It's going to raise everything, everything, and give you less service. So Mayor Pete is the guy to watch right now. I'd keep an eye on that Andrew Yang. He's not as stupid as he looks.
What a compliment.
He looks like a goof. You know, he looks like Beto O'Rourke, but Beto O'Rourke is just a... like a millennial John Kerry, just a goofball who married a wealthy woman. This Andrew Yang has built businesses and things, and he's a real manager, leader. He could pull himself together. You notice he was kind of straightening out over the weekend, becoming a lot more reasonable. You notice him talking about impeachment is stupid.
The entire country just gets engrossed in this impeachment process, and then we're going to look up and be facing Donald Trump in the general election, and we will not have made a real case.
All right, it's a little boring, and he does that millennial,
That'd be an interesting choice between Yang and Trump.
Yeah, but he's another one where Trump doesn't even have to attack him. In the debate, he can just say, I love this guy. Is this guy great? Just make fun of this guy.
You still want to give people $1,000?
Again, off that? He sounds goofy like Beto O'Rourke, but he's not. He's a very shrewd, smart guy. So once he gets past the gimmicks and... you know, passing out $100 bills and all that. There might be something there. So keep an eye on him. Hey, don't feel bad about this impeachment. This is the Democrats realizing they don't have a candidate. They don't have any issue that can win them an election. That's why the impeachment. The other thing is, since the impeachment started, donations to the Trump campaign have gone absolutely insane. 300,000 new donors, like in the last month. It's just unbelievable. Because of the impeachment, the Trump campaign is on track now to raise $1.5 billion, the all-time record in history.
Oh, this has really hurt him.
Yeah. So the impeachment is helping. There was a ruling moments ago. The appeals court ruled that the president does have to turn over his tax returns.
Right, yep.
There's nothing in the tax returns that would cause any problem at all. Nothing. You know, they make up all these scenarios. We think he's laundering money for Putin. What the hell would Putin need him to launder money for? Putin's got an entire country. Putin has a currency he owns. I need a guy in New York and Trump Tower to launder this for me. Like, even these Russian oligarchs, you think they need him to launder money? There's a guy in New York who could launder this for us. You know, if you're a mob guy in Brooklyn, maybe you need money laundered. But do you remember this is hard to believe now looking back on it. They had this whole hoax that he was colluding with Putin and the Russians.
Yes.
Think back on that now. Does that seem preposterous?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So the new one is colluding with Ukraine. So the appeals court ruled that he does have to turn over his taxes. It just means it goes to another court now. It'll eventually go to the Supreme Court, and they'll rule he doesn't have to turn it over. There's nothing in the taxes. You can look at his financial disclosure form. That's pretty much the same thing. Made in the last year, he was still making money. I think, what was the figure? $400 million he made?
And, I don't understand the rationale for the president being forced to disclose his taxes.
There's no rationale at all. By the way, all his tax forms were audited by the Obama administration. Trust me, they did a thorough job on those tax forms. There was nothing there. Cy Vance, who could be a great district attorney, could be, but he's got to stop with this. I must see these. We have to check that Stormy Daniels payment. Take a look at the last year he had income. Donald Trump made $484 million. You think he really needs a deduction, a fake deduction on a $100, $1,000 payment? It means nothing to him. Whatever that deduction was, he gives out more than that in tips in a month.
So he's claiming that as a deduction. All right, well, the business expense.
I don't know if it is or it isn't, but there's nothing there. Cy Vance, get back to work. You should be screaming and speaking out about this new plan of the city to release hardened criminals out into the population. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. Start voting these lunatics out of office. You know, they're going to release 900 dangerous criminals. This is right away. And then next year, they're going to start releasing thousands of them. Mayor de Blasio said he's come up with a great plan. How do we ever get them to come to court or see them again? He'll give them Yankee tickets. These are muggers, street criminals. They can steal all the Yankee tickets they want. Who first came up with that? Years ago, Yankee tickets. A million years ago, like 30 years ago, some politician did it.
Yeah, but I think they wanted to catch them. They offered the people who are violating parole.
It's in the Al Pacino movie, yeah. Sea of Love. Remember they tried? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know who it was? Howard Safer, who was our police commissioner. Somewhere back when he was running the federal marshals program in Washington, he offered Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah.
They had the last known address of like a million felons they couldn't find. So they sent to each one of them a fake thing. You've won a raffle. You've won Super Bowl tickets. And believe it or not, out of the 10,000, 500 of these idiots showed up. There's a 60 Minutes piece where they were all waiting for them and arrested them. So this has got to stop. And you got to get rid of this AOC kind of, look at this over the weekend. She's tweeting anti-police stuff now, anti-Israel, anti-police. Got to start getting rid of these people. Dov Hyken, who's a great leader in the Jewish community, she blocked him off Twitter.
Really?
He went to court. She's now apologized, apparently, because of the court case. She's going to let him back on. This has got to stop, all this stuff.
Eesh.
And these fake polls, I don't know what anybody thinks this does. All these public polls are totally rigged. There's very few Republicans in the sample. They're not surveying voters. They call it adults, but it's not likely voters. And all the questions are framed in the most rigged way. You know, they ask, do you strongly feel President Trump should be impeached, or do you slightly feel he should be impeached? So there's like no negative answer. Just rigged polls. They keep quoting these all over the place. Biden is not ahead in any legitimate poll. But with these fake polls where Republicans are at 18 or 20% of the sample, Democrats are at 40%, gee, he seems to win in these polls.
Why does Fox put those polls out?
I mean, they sanction that.
If they don't believe in the methodology, they shouldn't put it out.
Well, Fox, it's not Fox itself. It's the polling company they hired.
They're responsible for the information.
They got caught and they were exposed. That was one of the polls that the RNC had broken down and the metrics were all fake and rigged. You got to just start to realize Fox is not exactly pro-Trump. Some of the hosts might be pro-Trump, but the network itself may be just trying to look, unbiased. And they're not pro. There's a lot of anti-Trump people working at Fox.
I don't think it should be a pro-Trump network anyway. I mean, it should be fair.
Yeah. Now, Mark Cuban, who made billions of dollars years ago and on one thing, and then ever since then, I don't know what the hell he does. He bought the Dallas Mavericks, but did they do well?
Yeah, I don't know. They may have won a championship.
Yeah, so I guess they do okay. Now, he's now calling for all of these cable networks to be regulated. Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they must all be regulated. They must be fact-checked. Yeah, who's going to fact-check them?
Right.
All the fact-checking organizations. PolitiFact, factcheck.org, totally rigged. Snopes, that's different. That's not a professional thing. It's like some amateur thing. But who's going to fact-check them? And then he wants the whole thing labeled. It should be regulations that they must label certain shows as opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you watch PG-13,
when you watch Maddow or Hannity, do you not know who's stupid enough not to know they're giving their opinion? I mean, you can tell when it's a newscast, when it's an opinion.
Yeah, well, maybe they have to say liberal opinion.
You notice when anybody's on Meet the Press, they introduce the panel. Any show, Sunday morning with George Clintonopoulos, Meet the Press, they introduce the columnists. They say, here's David Brooks of the New York Times, here's so-and-so of the Washington Post, and here's conservative commentator Laura Ingraham. They never, it's always conservative commentator. Yeah. Here's the conservative columnist Rich Lowry. Have you ever heard him say, here's the liberal host Rachel Maddow, here's the liberal columnist David Brooks? They never say that.
No, not at all.
It's so one-sided. So I don't think you need that regulation. What else? We got to get out and vote tomorrow. First of all, get this. What's his name?
Jamani Williams.
Nice guy, although not that nice. Didn't he punch a cop or something, or get in an altercation with a cop?
I don't know about that.
But he's had some run-ins with the police. He's a crazy left-wing guy. I only mention him because he's the first one up for re-election. Most of these city elections are next year. But tomorrow you can get Jamani Williams out of there. Vote for what's his name? He's a Republican from Staten Island.
That's it.
I don't know anything about the guy, but it's close enough. You just put on the ballot, not Jamani Williams. So if you want to do something about this crazy, out of control, crazy left wing, put homeless all over the street, release the criminals, you can start tomorrow, get out and vote against Jamani Williams. That's the only race coming up this year. Check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. Beto O'Rourke has left the race. You can watch some great moments from his campaign, his dumbest, goofiest moments all cut together. Hey, the Trump campaign put out a great new ad about impeachment. Take a look at it. Just go to 710WOR.com/Mark. Well, everybody's been hanging on forever here. Let's take a call or two. Let's go to Don in New York City. Hey, Don. Don, are you there? Poor Don. Don, are you there? Says he's been hanging on for like an hour and a half. I think maybe he just dozed off. Went into a coma while hanging on. Let's go to Sean in New Jersey. Hey, Sean.
Hey, yes, sir. How's it going this morning?
Good.
I just wanted to talk, because you're talking about Buttigieg and the Navy thing in reservists, and as a reservist now deployed a couple times, recalled, everything else. So in the Navy, they do call up individuals, but the thing is, and what this is going to come out on him more and more, is you're recalled for 365 days and 270 days, everybody without exception except for lawyers, boots on the ground. So the fact that he was only there 2 or 3 months shows that he had favors done for him to only be there that short time. That never, even if you're injured, you come back, you're still on orders in there that long.
Yeah, no, clearly Buttigieg wanted to have, it was just like John Kerry, figured if I have some military on my resume, it's going to help me run for president. He was the mayor of South Bend. He had a lot of clout with the reserve, the local reserve. He got himself put on a desk job on a base for a few months and then got the hell out of there. He never quite explains that, sometimes in a long interview, but in the debate, he just says, when I was deployed to Afghanistan, it creates the illusion that he was in some kind of combat or something. He never says in the debate, when I had a desk job on a base in Afghanistan, he seems to leave that out. Let's go to Vincent in Brooklyn. Hey, Vincent.
Good morning, Mark. Last week I was at my barber waiting for my turn to get a haircut, so I started reading.
Wait. A guy like you has to wait for a turn?
Well, there was a guy before me, and he was getting his haircut because his daughter was in the hospital giving birth to their second kid.
No, so. I figure a guy like you has another guy that goes over and taps the guy in the chair and goes, get up.
The guy was a very nice guy. Well, anyway, so I started reading one of the Italian newspapers. that my barber had there because he's Italian. And
so
finally,
I'm getting the impression this is not like Frederick Fekai's salon with the.
Yeah, right. But anyway, so finally, an Italian newspaper, if there is any such thing as journalistic integrity, had the journalistic integrity to out the Italian governmental administration that was in cahoots with the Obama administration to get President Trump. The guy's government failed after a year and a half. He was a democratic socialist from Florence that then ran for mayor, and he made it like Buttigieg. But here's the deal. The guy's father, shortly thereafter, was arrested on fraudulent bankruptcy charges because he allegedly cooked the books of several banks that he was on the board of.
Gee, this doesn't sound like the Italian government I know.
Stole the money. Stole the money. And then, like John Corzine of New Jersey, who goes before the Senate and says, gee, I don't know where $50 billion is. Meanwhile, Bernie Madoff, for the same $50 billion, at least Bernie Madoff made it, people saw it was a Ponzi scheme, but he made them some money. John Corzine, oh, I don't know where the money is. But this mayor of Florence, his father and his mother were busted for fraudulent bankruptcy. Now, doesn't it sound like people in our government, I think Joe Biden,
Biden,
how much did he get under the table?
Well,
how much did Obama get under the table?
We may find out, because it turns out William Barr and his investigators came back from Italy. They had just spent some time in Italy.
Well, now, because there's a different government, it's leaning more conservative.
Yeah.
They ousted the commies there because they're on the balls of you-know-what. So, but I hope he does a good job. But anyway, this guy was a communist, just like Obama. He was at the White House with Obama to get him elected. Obama sent his cronies over there. I remember because I watch Italian TV every night. I speak Italian and read Italian.
Look at you, the Italian barber, the Italian newspaper, the Italian TV news.
Well, you know, you got to stay up to date. I got to see what's going on with a lot of my friends over there.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's no coincidence.
You have a bocce court at home?
No, I have something else that...
you don't want to dig up the yard to put that in. I got you.
But anyway...
I understand.
Why is it wherever there's these Democrats in office, all of a sudden relatives are getting busted for bankruptcy, cooking the books? I mean, it seems like it's a disease or something that came across the pond. Where's Joe Biden's kid recently?
Well,
Trump made those shirts. Where's Hunter?
Yeah, no, good points. Excellent call, as always, Vincent. Hey, by the way, William Barr went over there with Durham, Special Counsel Durham, who's investigating Clapper, Brennan, all these people. He took Barr with him, the Attorney General himself. They found some real serious stuff in Italy, and they elevated what Durham's doing to a criminal investigation. What Vincent was talking about probably had something to do with this. You're going to see some big stuff develop from that when we come back. You know the great comedian Bassem Youssef?
Yeah.
Yeah, they call him the John Stewart of the Middle East. But he's become a big comedian here in this country. But very smart guy. And we'll ask him, what the hell is going on over there? What's wrong with these people? We'll get to that in a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Mark, a federal appeals court has ruled against President Trump in a tax return case. The court says he does not have blanket immunity. The Manhattan DA wants the returns as part of its investigation into alleged hush money payments. The president expected to appeal to the Supreme Court. Funeral going to be held today for a Queens teenager killed by a stray bullet while playing basketball. Amir Griffin was not the intended target of gang members. Police believe the shooting may also be connected to a shooting that injured a 16-year-old girl outside her high school in Queens. Hundreds of prisoners soon going to be released in New York City as part of a bail reform plan signed by Governor Cuomo. The plan eliminates the bail for a lot of people charged with misdemeanor and even some felony crimes. The mayor also wants to give them incentives to show up for court so they'll get baseball tickets, movie passes, and gift cards. Next update at noon, breaking news at 1. Start your day with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 to 10 tomorrow. I'm Joe Bartlett on 710 WOR.
Here's your WOR Weather Channel forecast. Nice start to the work week. Mostly sunny skies and a little milder here today. Mid-50s this afternoon. Upper 40s to around 50 tonight with clouds moving in. Showers mainly in the morning for Tuesday. Otherwise cloudy and milder tomorrow. Highs around 60 tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone.
Military propaganda are very strong. And they are backed up by weapons. Yeah. So, and it's hard. Yeah, and I kind of like, and I say, I don't want to be too political in this, but like, you have to, isn't it like interesting to see that all of the Western countries that like pretty much promoting democracy and coexistence, they are the same countries who provide weapons to many of the crazy Middle Eastern dictators, correct?
Yeah, so...
So you, it's kind of like, yeah, we want democracy, but in the same time, we're supplying weapons for the same dictator who is oppressing our democracy. So let's figure that out.
So, yeah, you can see Bassem Youssef at the Stress Factory November 7th through the 9th. Now, you know, most great stand-up comedians, they kind of like half dropped out of school. They, you know, did nothing. They were a waiter, then they're a stand-up comedian. Now, you, a TV star, before that, you were a cardiothoracic surgeon. Is that true?
Yes. I was a cardiac surgeon, and I was there. I studied and worked for 18 years. And then the revolution came, and it changed my life forever. Started to do these little short YouTube videos, and they basically exploded. I mean, in the good sense of way when you say exploded. And then you had people like, and then people started watching, and then suddenly I'm having this offers to do the show on television, and it became huge. And John Stewart came to my show in Egypt. I came to his show in New York. It was fantastic. And I remember when John Stewart came to the show, our theater was in downtown Cairo. And he went in, and he could not believe the kind of reception that he had. And he said, I would have never thought the short Jewish guy from New Jersey would be Greek that way in the middle of Cairo. Let me, if you can go actually on YouTube and find how people give him a standing ovation for like 3 minutes when he appeared on my feature. It was crazy.
Now, he also pointed out when he was on your show, because if you're John Stewart and you go after the government in this country, you're a hero, you're invited to everything, everybody loves you. But as he pointed out, in your country, for you to do that, you really risked your life. What, were you crazy?
Oh, I don't know. Like, the thing is, like, after the revolution, there was a window of opportunity. We thought that we can say everything we want, but at the end of the day, we were hit with the reality that, no, the system didn't really fall. There are other dictatorships in place. And we fought. I mean, I fought for, like, 3.5 years, and I got arrested, and I was interrogated for 6 hours for my jokes, which is hilarious. That's actually, I talk about that in my show.
It doesn't sound hilarious to be investigated by those guys.
In hindsight, it does. Oh. I'm not there anymore. And then, but it was like, actually, the interview was so dysfunctional that that when I tell the story, and you know, it sounds crazy, it sounds dangerous, but when I tell the story in my show, it's people, it's like, what? And then actually, that is the part that actually gets the biggest laugh. And it was interesting to see how satire kind of like shook a whole country, and how people reacted to that. And then I was forced basically to leave, and I came to America at the same time as you guys getting Trump, which is lovely.
Oh, we love Trump. But hey, when these six vicious guys were interrogating you, did it ever cross your mind, you know, maybe you should just make jokes about my wife or something?
No. It was not six guys. It was like, it was the general prosecutor, but I was interrogated for 6 hours.
Oh, 6 hours, yeah. So
Yes.
But didn't you think after that, you know, maybe I'll make jokes about my wife or my kids or something after this?
Well, you can, but like, that's not your brand. People say, people are waiting, when they see you on stage, they expect something. It's like if Jon Stewart suddenly started to talk about MTV or pop stars war instead of talking about what's happening every day. So it's like political satire is a brand by itself, and people wait for you to hear that. So I wish I could say like jokes about my wife, But A, I can risk her leaving me. B, that's not my brand.
All right, but you are a heroic guy in the toughest part of the world. I have a feeling that Jon Stewart, had they gone after him, the next day wouldn't have heard another political joke out of him.
I don't think. I think you should give Jon Stewart a lot of free credit.
But you can see Bassem Youssef, one of the great satirists, one of the great comedians. He's going to be at the Stress Factory November 7th through the 9th. That's, of course, New Brunswick, New Jersey, the Stress Factory. So make a reservation, get your tickets. You know, when you say November 7th and 9th, that sounds like 6 months from now. I can't believe that's next week.
It's 3 days from now, baby.
Oh, it's three days from now.
Yes. I mean, like, we are Monday, and the first show is on Thursday already.
So. Oh, okay. So then you better hurry and get a reservation or get a ticket. That's the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And then where do you go from there?
Well, then the next week I have a show in Eastern Michigan University with Dr. Zhang, you know, the guy who did, you know, the guy on The Masked Singer, the guy who was in the Hangover, because both of us were doctors.
Hangover.
So, yes, exactly. So both of us are doctors, and so we're going to do like a show, like a show split between us, and hopefully in Los Angeles afterwards, and then in Miami, in Arizona. So I'm kind of doing like a tour.
All right. Well, he's one of the great comedians, a brilliant guy, and a great hero. So go see him. Stress Factory this week, November 7th through the 9th. That's later this week. You can see Bassem Youssef at the Stress Factory. Always great talking to you. Hey, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. And everybody check out the webpage. We've got a lot of good stuff up there. Beto O'Rourke left the campaign. And if you want to just see some of the great moments of this campaign, actually take a look at this. Watch this montage of his goofiest, stupidest moments cut together. You can't believe any legitimate political party indulges this guy for 2 seconds, but watch this video. Also, the Trump campaign put out a great new ad about impeachment. Take a look at it. It's pretty good. And, you know, the high and mighty, pompous, stuffed shirt Robert De Niro. These guys like him, I would never do a TV commercial. They do them all the time. They just go do them overseas so that you never see them. He just did one in England, which is pretty embarrassing. Take a look at this. This is De Niro, desperate for some cash, doing this TV commercial in Great Britain. Now, when asked about it, he said, well, I met the CEO. I thought he was a great guy. I thought it'd be a funny idea. It's not that funny an idea. It just looks stupid. But we all got that up on the webpage. So it's all up there. Just go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.